This is URM.
Hello and welcome to a special Over the Trench.
It is URM.
You're listening to URN. It's a special today. Two sports shows coming up, so 2 hours of sport. We'll keep you up to date with the racing at Cheltenham and the cricket in Barbados, but we're going to keep a little closer to home. We're going to be talking all things Notts County and Nottingham Forest today. I'm joined by a multitude of guests, it's fair to say. Quite a few Forest fans, or people who can be Forest fans for the time being. Harry Waring, who's an MK Dons fan, who is enjoying the Garibaldi experience. Harry, how are you today?
I'm very good, thank you. We're all good over here.
It's a good smile. He was next to the sort of, how do we put this, the quite enthusiastic Forest fans above the away fans last night, so I'm sure we're going to talk about that. I'm also joined, as ever, by Kieran Etheridge, the man who sits next to me, the man who consoles me on many a dreary Tuesday night. But it was a fantastic night last night. Kieran, how are you this morning?
Yes, it is afternoon. I am very good, thank you. Looking forward to talking Forest. And yeah, you started off that game a little bit shaken up, let's say, after that first goal, but there wasn't much consoling I needed to do. Forest did it for us.
It was a fantastic evening, but we're going to start on the other side of the river today. Notts County, who we promise we talk about as much as we do Forest, I'm sure the listeners would disagree with that, have had a real poor set of form. Since we last talked, they've lost 3-1 to local rivals Chesterfield away, a heartbreaker on the 1st of March. Then they got a bad point against Yeovil Town. A definite win there would have seen them climb the leagues. A 3-3 thriller against Solihull Moors, and then 2-1 in the Cup, that game that was really recommended to us for students to go. 2-1 Wrexham, sorry. Who's the Wrexham owner again?
Ryan Reynolds.
I was about to say Wrexham Ryans there.
Wrexham Ryans.
Reynolds came away with the win, 2-1, and stopped.
Not Toby.
Oh, no, not Toby. Now, I'd like to refute those rumours that they are in some way related. And then Stockport thumped County on the Tuesday, the 15th of March, 3-0. Kieran, as we discussed on our last live show, those were all games County needed to win. Well, how would you describe this affecting Notts County season?
Well, I haven't really been following County too much, not going to lie. But I've kind of got the results up just as you were speaking there. And I am very surprised that they haven't at least won one of them. It's been an abysmal run for them. That Chesterfield game really should have been a win. That was a really poor result for them. Yeovil Town, as you said, very bad point there. Solihull Moors, it's just a bit of a tougher game than Yeovil, I would say, but it's still winnable for the County. Getting knocked out of the FA Trophy to Wrexham, that's got to hurt.
Yeah, Wrexham, obviously a team that's sort of being, it's the Man City, shall we say, of the lower leagues. Now, Harry, you are not a Notts County fan, but you are a lower league fan, it's fair to say. The MK Dons have been to Wembley, and this was a chance for Notts County fans to go to Wembley, something they haven't done in a long time. How important is it when you go out of a cup competition? How does that affect the season for a lower league team?
I think for Notts County, everybody wants to go to Wembley, but I think this is the perfect outcome for them.
Okay.
I think what has to be on Notts County's cards right now is promotion. I think they've been knocking around now in non-league. Is it a couple of seasons?
3 seasons now.
Three seasons. They need to be back in the league. They're the oldest club in history.
They were the oldest league football club. It's now Nottingham Forest currently, so I don't mind them not being there. But I do get your point.
Inflates his ego a little bit.
Stoke technically are, but because they reformed in 1920, I don't count it. being very pedantic on today's show. Notts County aren't in a bad position. 54 points, sixth in the playoffs places. Solihull Moors with 55 points. However, Grimsby Town, Boreham Wood, Wrexham, Halifax Town, all above them have games in hand. It's going to be a tough end of the season, isn't it, Kieran, for Notts County? What are the fixtures coming up for the Magpies?
They've got Dagenham and Redbridge first. It's going to be a very...
That's away, isn't it?
Yeah, it's away as well. It's going to be an interesting game.
in very similar positions, only 2 points behind them. So that could be a real six-pointer.
I think if they're going to push on any more this season and potentially have a late surge into the upper, like, top area of the league, I butchered that, but you know what I mean. They've really got to win this game because it's a team that's obviously around them. Next up is Boreham Wood, who are also fifth, and they're in, and obviously County are at eighth, so that's another game that they've really got to be winning if they do want to carry on with any hope of getting near a promotion spot.
Yeah, definitely agree there. Notts County do have their future in their own hands, but it is going to be difficult, it's fair to say. But there has been a bit of a signing. Harry Waring, what has happened from the City Ground to Meadow Lane?
Well, it's Harry Arter this week. Ooh. So this is a man who was Fulham under Scott Parker, who's played for Charlton. And I think Notts Forest signed for $5 million. So,
okay, we're going to have to pause you there. That's a very insulting to both clubs here.
Nottingham Forest. There's going to be a lot of that.
This is over the trend. You cannot get away with that.
How about if I just say Forest?
Yeah, that's absolutely fine if you just say Forest.
Right, Forest. There we go. Signing for $5 million from Fulham. I think it was last season. He's barely made his way into the squad, and now he's going on loan to non-league. For me, I think that's a great time for Notts County.
Yeah,
it's they need somebody who can just come down, control a bit of quality.
Yeah.
For me, I think he's a League One player, so from the player's point of view, I think it's not really the best, but if he gets some game time, he gets some game time.
He's going to go down there and be the star player for County. Yeah.
It'd be a confidence boost.
It would be really good for his confidence if he's ever going to break into any kind of championship side again. I think he does need to go somewhere where he's the kind of big fish in a small pond kind of thing. So I think
there's a couple of players at County I'd like to see him link up with, and one of them's Wootton, their striker.
Wootton is
the best player by a mile. And also the right back, Adam Chickson.
Mr. Reece Davies.
Yes, now this is weird that that's very weird that you've singled him out as Reece David, who was your predecessor of MK Donsness on this station. Loved Adam Chickson, even went to a wedding with Adam Chickson.
Yeah,
and there was a whole cult around the Chickson. So that's a very bizarre that you've called him out there.
It's just an MK Dodds. I was just going to bring him out because of MK Dodds.
Yeah. Oh, just that's had
to,
of course.
Came through the academy and we sold him to Brighton.
Yeah. Oh my God. This is covering all the URN teams today. But if you just look at Notts County, going back to them just for a second, it's a very tough ask. Stockport are running away with it. Chesterfield, local rivals, in second. Halifax Town, Wrexham, Boreham Wood, Solihull Moors, and Grimsby Town, and Torquay, Southend United, all in the playoff spots or just thereabouts. This National League is absolutely littered with teams we recognise of EFL teams. Yeah. I can't remember a time when there's been so many. I think Notts County have got a really hard job to do.
I think it's one of the most competitive one of the most competitive leagues around at the moment, to be honest. And it's, especially in recent history, it's been the most competitive set of players in this league as well. I can't remember the last time that the National League was this tight going into like their last few games of the season, because it's usually wrapped up pretty quickly by one or two teams who have got a bit more spending power than all the others.
Yeah, and you look at teams like Wrexham, who you expect to have all that spending power, and they're not top of the league. It's a really interesting National League debate, but we're sure that Notts County wouldn't mind sticking two fingers up at their local rivals, Chesterfield.
I drink to remember, I smoke to forget.
On campus.
And online. And
online. Online.
Online.
This
is
URN. This is URN.
You join us on Over the Trent on St. Patrick's Day. Anyone wearing green today? Anyone? Oh, it's just me in my coffee jumper. Harry Waring's looking down his shirt. Is there any green there?
No.
No green there. No green there. We will play. We will play a few Irish songs for you. Obviously, I got the green Cluffy jumper on. And speaking of Cluffy, Forrest are climbing the league as if he was still manager. Forrest, the last time we talked, we're just about to play Sheffield United. Got an amazing 1-1 draw. Did anyone see that game? Or was that the ocean night? I think it was that.
Oh, I watched that on TV.
It was a great night. What do you think of the Forrest performance there?
I thought they left it a bit late.
So yes, they did.
Was it a Yates header at the end?
From Yates header in the 94th minute. Right.
Yeah, that is sound.
Goalscorer machine.
Yeah, let's talk about Ryan Yates. Absolutely superb. Got another goal last night. Re-signed a 3-year contract. Kieran, how good do you think Ryan Yates has been these past few months?
At the end of the game, I literally said to you, didn't I? If Worrell leaves anytime soon, you've got a ready-made captain already there in Ryan Yates. I think he's been amazing recently, and he's definitely deserved that contract extension. Obviously, he's been scoring for fun. And it's the fact that he's playing such like a deep role, but also get him. He's playing like a really good box to box midfielder.
He controls it.
Yeah, no, he does. He's able to get forward, but he knows when to stay back at the same time. So it works really well. I think without him, that midfield isn't anywhere near as balanced as it is when he is there. And he is he's vital to the system that Cooper plays.
Yeah, he's obviously been such a star of that setup. Now, speaking of another star of this setup, we're going to cross to our cricket correspondent on Over the Trend. George, what's happening in Barbados?
Well, amazing season in Barbados. Obviously, after we'd scored 3 test centuries for the first time since 2016 in the last test, Ben Stokes had just scored 100 off 112 balls to make it the second century of the test already. With Dan Lawrence also getting 91. So we're looking in a very commanding position at 396 for 4. But this is an amazing century from Stokes, really. I mean, when I looked at lunch, I was eating my lunch in the David Ross Sports Centre, and he was 22 off 50 balls. He's obviously just gone through the gears, and obviously now, like I say, 100 off 114 deliveries. So he's really taken the West Indies apart these last since lunch.
Fantastic stuff from Ben Stokes. If you want to hear more thoughts from George on the cricket, do listen to Sticky Wickets. We've also had Forest versus Huddersfield, and for the first time in 3 years, Emily Oxbury went down to the City Ground. Now, I'm always anxious to get as many people down to watch Forest. Emily, what were your thoughts on the Reds progressing to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup?
Well, considering that you, Dom, had said to me the entire day, we're going to lose, we're going to lose, we're going to lose, I was quite happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was good. As much as I know about football, they seem to play pretty well, and it was very enjoyable, particularly having all the goals at our end.
Yes, it was a very stressful first goal from Huddersfield. Obviously, a disallowed Sam Surridge goal ruled that out.
I was going to say, I've somewhat now learned the offside rule, and my dad is adamant it should have been 3-1.
Oh yeah, if VAR was in place, that's another goal. Forest win 3-1. What would you say the atmosphere was like? Because I thought it was bouncing on that Monday night.
It was it was pretty much sold out, wasn't it? I think like there was everywhere around us was completely full. Lots of flags, lots of cheering.
Is that all you want from sport?
All I want from sport. That's all I need. Flags, sport. Flags. Of course you need sport for sport, God.
Yeah,
flags and cheering, and I'm happy.
I can just see the tiredness from the 24-hour shifts just starting to creep in there.
I'm going insane, and I was going insane at hour one. I'm sorry.
Harry Waring, did you catch that game? Were you there?
I was not at the house.
Okay, I'll have to talk about it. So Forrest played fantastically for the first time since 1996. Forrest.
Was the first time they played well?
For the first time since 96.
Yes, that is true. We've made the FA Cup quarterfinals. We'll talk a bit about that later. Facing the almighty Liverpool. Jack, you're a Liverpool fan.
I'm a very big Liverpool fan.
You're also a Hull fan, and you're also a
I'm not a Hull fan. I only liked Hull last night because they were winding up my dear friend Ben Cooper.
And you also didn't like it when I was taking the mick out of them a bit on there.
You get a bit defensive, Jack.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm not actually a Hull fan, but I do get a bit defensive when people come for my home, so...
Fair enough. Now, obviously, Forrest then played quite a woeful Reading side, it's fair to say. They were just atrocious. Hands up if you were there for this game. George, what were your thoughts on the Reading game?
Yeah, Reading were bad, man. Were bad. I think I messaged my dad saying I was going to that game, and I think the first thing he said, yeah, Reading are bad. But, you know, you've got to beat what's in front of you, and Forrest obviously did the job. They, as they have been the last... I mean, I've been to 3 games now. I haven't seen... haven't seen Forest lose. It's
please
great
keep
atmosphere.
Coming.
Yeah,
please.
Exactly. That's what my mate is saying. We're the lucky charms.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a good performance. I mean, like I say, Reading were poor, but Forest were really good. Dominated the game. Got the result they needed, and that's all you can ask for, can't you, really?
Keenan Davis scored within 18 seconds of the first whistle. Yeah. How good's Keenan Davis been for the Reds?
Keenan Davis has been unbelievable. And as I keep saying on the Big Monday Night In, he is coming to Norwich next season. No, so unfortunately for you Forest fans, you won't be able to keep him for too much longer. But I genuinely have not seen a striker live, especially, that holds the ball up as well as Keenan Davis. He doesn't lose anything in the air, hardly. Mm. He wins everything in the air. And the way he just holds the ball up, like, defenders just bounce, they can't get around him. And he's so good at just holding the ball up and bringing other people into play. But he's also, for a big guy that holds the ball up well, technically his feet are unbelievable. I mean, his second goal in that game...
He's quick as well.
He is quick, yeah. He is quick as well. And the second goal in that game where he just, like, basically sat two of the Reading defenders down with a little turn and then just drove through the middle and just put it in the middle of the goal, but right in the corner off the post. It was an unbelievable goal. Like, as a striker, you can't really ask for any more than that. Get the ball, hold off two defenders, and then put it in the corner like he did. He had a great game that game. I do think as well, to be fair, touching on that game, they scored within 18 seconds. Great start. Great scenes at the City Ground. But the rest of the first half,
was
I
pretty
did
poor,
think Forest were pretty poor. That's the worst I've seen them play in the games that I've been to. But then, obviously, Steve Cooper had a few words at half-time and they came out the block second half and looked a different team, dominated the ball. I do think that was the first time I'd seen Yates play. And I thought in that first half he looked average. And I said that to you, I think. I sent a message
to him.
Yates, look, like, get him off. Unbelievable. But since then, he's obviously proven me wrong. And he's looked a really good player the last couple of games, especially last night.
Yeah, he's been absolutely fantastic. I had quite a similar moment with when you see a player just before they burst onto the scene. I said Joe Lawley really wouldn't make it for Forest, and look how wrong I've been. Scored over 50 goals.
He looked sharp.
He was so good to have him back. Harry, what's been your thoughts on Keenan Davis? You've seen him against Leicester. I thought he was sensational there, but what's your thoughts on the big man?
I think in a Forest, the way Forest play, I think he's perfect. You sort of play with that dynamic front three, so Zinchenko, Johnson and Davis. And from what I saw, especially last night, they weren't like restricted to positions, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think that just works perfectly. You've got Davis, like George said, he just picks the ball up, holds it off, he'll beat a couple of players maybe, and then he'll lay it off to Zinchenko or even back to Garner to play Johnson through. So I think he's been exceptional. I think that's just what they needed at January to try and bolster this playoff run they're on now. So if you can keep him next year, it'll be unbelievable.
Yeah, he has been fantastic for the Reds. Now, obviously, it is St. Patrick's Day. I've got my green Cluffy jumper on, my Ireland Test cricket shirt on as well. Forest have obviously had so many great Republic of Ireland players. Roy Keane and Andy Reid. Got to say, Roy Keane's winning that one. But we're going to play Galway Girl by Ed Sheeran to celebrate the Irish.
She played the fiddle in an Irish band, but she fell in love with an Englishman. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hands. And baby, I just want to dance.
On campus.
And online.
Online.
This
is
URN.
You're listening to Over the Trent. We are joined by a multitude of guests. We've got Harry Waring, George, Kieran, we've got Emily and Jack, who are doing a 24-hour show. Now, let's talk about why they're doing that. For comic relief, how are you guys finding it?
Fine so far. I'm feeling
great.
It's fine
at the moment.
Fine so far.
Yeah, Kieran did one, obviously, on Monday, so we will get back to you at, like, 5 a.m. and tell you how we're feeling then.
So if you'd like to donate, you can on the URN homepage. Please go there and donate what you can. We really do appreciate it. Now, Forest played QPR promotion rivals, it's fair to say, last night on a beautiful day at the City Ground. It was tipping it down. We have got a QPR fan in the room. Gemma? Are you there?
I am here.
I couldn't see you over the monitor, so I was a little bit worried there for a second. How have QPR been this year?
Well, we've been nabs. We're in playoff contention. That's more than we could have ever have hoped, I'd say. So,
Mark Warburton doing a good job for you, would you say?
Yeah, I think he definitely is. I mean, there's some fans that would say after last night that he isn't, but I would say they're wrong. So
I think Mark Warburton's a really underrated manager. Was actually quite good for Forest, it's fair to say. Now let's delve into the game. Jack Napton made his return to live football.
I did, after... since 2019, that was the first live football match I've been to.
What was the game before?
That was a Liverpool Legends game at Anfield, a replay of the 2005 Champions League final.
Not 2007.
A bit of a hiatus.
Yeah, a little bit of a hiatus.
So, what were some of the players you saw?
So, I saw Steven Gerrard score a last minute winner from outside the box. I saw Andre Pirlo curling a free kick. I saw Kaká play. He didn't score though. He was good though. He'd only just retired actually, which I felt was a little bit unfair on some of the people that were pushing like 70 odd. I'm 90% sure Ian Rush had a cameo and I was like, my god, get him off the pitch, he's going to die. Michael Owen came on and got booed. Cafu played.
Not the Cafu that came on.
Cafu, no.
Yeah, no.
We'll talk about him later. We'll talk about him later.
It was a very star-studded team. Carragher played. Actually, Carragher was chopping as ever. Robbie Fowler scored the opener for Liverpool as well.
A multitude of football legends.
I did.
At a cathedral of football. And then you went to the City Ground and saw QPR play. Yeah. How was the contrast in that, would you say?
Well, it's been a while, Dom, so I would have taken anything at this point.
Yeah, it was a delight to have you there. We could see myself and Kieran. Who else was there? Harry, you were in Upper Brickford or just next to it in the Upper Brian Clough. Yeah. I'd say QPR dominated the first half, it's fair to say, going into the half 1-0 up. Gemma, as a QPR fan, how did you think that first half went?
I thought it went pretty well. Like, I definitely got my hopes up at half time, I would say. but considering we've only won once in Nabilar's 30 appearances that we've been there, I would say 1-0 up at half time was pretty good.
It was obviously quite a rainy day, it's fair to say. The pitch was slightly waterlogged.
Yeah, the pitch was dreadful.
Stopped in the corner. Yeah.
Jack gave me sort of a demonstration this morning. He just went, the ball went up and then it came down and just went.
It's kind of exemplified when was it Worrell tried to kick
McKenna
tried to kick it out and it just kind of stopped.
One of them it went into the mud and then fizzed back faster at the player than when he kicked it.
My favourite part was when it went out for a throw in and Spence decided to throw the ball in a puddle, so the QPR player had to pick it up and like wash it off and everything.
So QPR dominated that rainy first half. It's pretty much they were playing in the Trent. And the second half, it all changed. Kieran, what do you think was the biggest change for Forest, who went from 1-0 down to 3-1 up by the end of the game?
That Spence goal. That was literally, we looked so flat before that goal happened.
Couldn't have come at a better time either, really.
No,
it put a bit of belief into the team.
Yeah, that screamer, any goal like that's going to put belief into a team. If one of your players can score like that, why can't you score a tap-in at the end of the day? But after that goal, it just looks like a complete different team, completely reinvigorated the team.
I'd say the Forest fans finally started singing about that.
I will agree. I will definitely agree. That's not shade thrown there.
That halftime Milif Kintar was poor.
Was possibly one of the weakest. Yeah. I'd say the one against Liverpool was going to be sensational, it's fair to say. But I do agree, Forest, the whole atmosphere around the ground felt really tense. And then Spence came to life, brought a sort of energy to the ground that only the greats of the game can really do. And yes, I have just called him one of the greats of the game. In my opinion, he could be Pele for all I care. Out of interest for those who watch the Championship, what have you guys heard of Jed Spence, and was he someone you were worried about?
I'm probably not the best person to ask this to. Worried I'm about. Not a big follower of actual players. I'm
fair
really
enough.
Bad for that.
He's been linked with a move away to Bayern Munich.
Yes.
You know, that kind of speaks for
itself. That's where I'd heard of him. I'd get Forest notifications on my phone just so I know what kind of mood you're going to be in, Dom. But I've seen recently that a lot of you, he's scored quite a lot recently, especially for a right back as well. And I'm actually pretty sure I've heard from you saying he would have an England call up.
Yes, if
said
we
2026, didn't you?
I think I said earlier, it's fair to say. If there wasn't such a gluttony of right backs in this country that Matty Cash has had to go to Poland to get an international call up, I think Jed Spence has thoroughly deserved it. Now there's been a wicket over at the cricket. George, who's in Barbados. George, what's happening?
George is in Barbados.
Wow. George is in Barbados. Wow.
Can you
imagine?
Magic.
George, what's the weather like
over
there?
That's why we have no money.
The weather is absolutely unbelievable.
It's sunny here and it's just...
You're wearing
just
shorts, aren't you, George?
Yeah, shorts, T-shirt.
Reebok hoodie.
Reebok hoodie, I heard.
Yeah.
also found out this is true as well. The pints in Barbados are £1.20.
Oh,
oof. Unbelievable.
That's so, like the north.
Yeah.
Scarbados, somebody they call Scarborough. Actually, so who's out?
It was Johnny Bairstow, just took on a short ball, and unfortunately he hauled out to deep square leg. I think they're just trying to get on with it a bit now, Dom. Probably get to about 500 and declare, I reckon. Get 500 as soon as we can. Have a few overs at them tonight. But I don't hold much hope of getting many wickets with Chris Wokes opening the bowling. But I said, listen to Sticky Wickets for my hate on Chris Wokes.
Yeah, so, and obviously that's due to your jet lag, you being in Barbados, it's fair to say. We're going to go to a break in a little bit. But before we do, we've got to ask QPR fans, Gemma, what do you think about the playoffs? Are Forest a team you think might sneak in, or will your beloved Hoops get in there before us?
Well, I've lost hope after last night. With our keeper injury, we've now not got. We've lost four keepers. We don't have a keeper at the moment.
Santa's back and gone last night.
You've lost that. Right, we need to discuss that. How are they all gone? What's happening to them?
Well, they're just all injured for various reasons. But and we lost Chris Willock yesterday as well, who's a black, not keeper, but one of our best players.
He looked quite good, to be fair.
I think our
entire game plan was around him doing well, and he got injured. Like,
why did you know when your keeper got injured? Yeah. Why did he go off when there's 3 minutes to go?
I think because the game was gone. It's fair to say.
He just wasted time. I wanted to get home. Yeah, it's raining.
Yeah. Is Ilias Chair also your top scorer? Like, what a surname that is, Chair.
Yeah. Okay.
He's also 5 foot. One, I think, or
he's
something
five
like
for one.
Yeah,
when
he came on yesterday, he looked nippy, but then his end product was awful. He would dribble into a corner and not be able to get out. Mm. Mm.
Overall, how would you rank QPR's performance? Would you say Forest were better, or would you say QPR lost the game, Forest won the game? What's your overall decision as a QPR fan?
I'd say we had the first half, you had the second half, and then you did more with it. So
I think we made some pretty decent saves, I'd say.
Was that your first choice keeper or not?
Sorry, me or the QPR fan?
The QPR. was that QPR's first choice keeper?
I think so at the moment, because Senny's not played since he came back from AFCON.
Right, so he wouldn't be normally? Because he did pull out some worldy saves.
Well, I think there was quite a lot of debate of who would be first team keeper.
Oh, right, okay.
But then he's been injured, so.
All right.
We'll go to Cricket Corner over
there. We're back over to Barbados.
Over in Barbados now. Hopefully the line's not too dodgy. George, what did you think of the game?
I somehow managed to get to Barbados after being at the City Ground last night.
You haven't slept at all.
No.
So
don't talk about.
I think you boys are being harsh on, and everyone here, boys and girls, obviously, are being harsh on, Forest.
I think that first half they couldn't deal with the rain. There was a lot of pressure on it.
I still think you were the better team. I think Forest were the better team first half.
This is lovely to hear from two neutrals. This is lovely.
Obviously QPR scored that goal, but they had a chance early. The first sort of 15 minutes, I think QPR were on top.
Yeah.
Then I think Forest wrestled control of the game. Forest weren't playing the best football, but we were still on top, and we missed an open goal.
Dom doesn't
even miss an open goal. QPR, Forest.
Mm. The QPR goal for me came out of nowhere.
Yeah, agreed.
It was worked down the right, and then it's a 50-50.
All of QPR's good stuff came down the right last night. I mean, Jed Spence was obviously ridiculously good with that goal, but it has to be said, QPR's right back was also playing very well.
Sort of dealt with Zinchenko, Johnson.
I thought Zinchenko played well.
Yes, and I thought Lolly, when he came on, offered a lot of energy, and it was so good to have him back. He's so good at just creating chances.
But also, Kieran said that it was only the goal where we looked back. I thought the first 5 minutes of the second half, we pinged the ball about nicely.
Yeah, but I don't
think... On such a bad surface as well.
I don't think it was quite good enough to say that we were going to get back into the game and win
5-1. At half time, I sat there and I said that Forest are going to win this game easy just because they were creating more chances.
I agreed.
QPR looked really lively the first 10 minutes, but after that, apart from the goal, they didn't do anything for me.
As soon as Chris Willock went off, I thought QPR offered very little. And I think, was it Gray that scored for
them? Yeah, it was
Andre.
I thought that was a good individual goal.
He took it well, but
and he had the Sambas in goal. I'm backing Samba from that position. Mm. He was out wide angle.
What are your
opinions
on that, boys? Do you need to get Samba?
I will not offer an opinion on Samba because I love him too much. I can't let him go. Let's talk about the last goal. Johnson at the end. And the limbs around the city.
Cafu should have scored.
Cafu, right. He's got the name, he hasn't got the talent.
Cafu,
it's so good when he comes on. But those limbs at the end.
He played well against Thingy, though.
He did.
Oh, yes, Thingy.
I'm a big fan of Thingy FC, it's fair to say. Limbs at the end, Depeche Mode coming on, the mood around the City Ground is phenomenal. what do you think the atmosphere will be like on Sunday? Or should we leave that for the next song? We're going to go. Let's leave that to the next song. We're going to have a song for Roy Keane again. It's the Pogues, the Irish Rover.
This is URN.
You're listening to URN on a 24-hour show with Over the Trent Now, followed by Girls in Pole Position. But we're going to have to cross live to Barbados. George, there's been a wicket. What's happened?
Brathwaite's managed to get Stokes out. He's sort of like, as I said, sort of trying to accelerate innings. 424 for six now. He was just trying to go big over the top after hitting him for six. And just miscued it, went up in the air, and a simple catch out in the deep by... I don't know who to call it, to be honest.
Well, you are there. It's quite hard to see a whole cricket field.
The sort of West Indies fans are going a bit wild now, you know.
They're blocking your view, George.
They were blocking my view. Yeah. A few too many of these £1.20 beers.
It's fair to say you're enjoying that Calypso spirit. Now, Forest Howe playing their big, big rivals from the 70s and 80s. Liverpool on Sunday. It's on ITV1. Apparently, it's ruined.
That's how I'll be watching.
That is how most people will be watching, as it's a sellout for the Reds.
After about 12 minutes, yes, in general sale.
For both Reds.
For both, well, the original Reds and Liverpool. We are joined by a Liverpool fan, of course, Mr. Jack Napton.
Hello.
I saw you quite smugly just enjoying the City Ground in the away end last night.
It was funny. Do you know what? I like City to do well. Sorry, not City.
City.
I like Forest to do well, but then because I lived with Gemma last year, I also don't quite like QPR to do well. So last night, I was somewhat neutral. So all I was enjoying is the fact that knowing you would be really angry in that first half.
Could you see me?
Until I opened Kieran's Facebook message, yeah. I had no idea where you were. And then Gem, I was looking up and Gem went, "I can see his jacket." And I went, "Oh my God, that's him." Yeah. And you were looking down, just frowning. I could see your frown from the other side of the stadium. And I was like, yeah, this is...
When we had a free kick just outside the box, that went... When they score this, we're going to celebrate that way.
Yeah, it was awful. Hit the wall.
Myself and Etheridge certainly celebrated your way. A few, you've lost that loving feeling. Was definitely directed towards the away fans there. Liverpool, what's your predicted 11, Jack?
All right, okay. So we're getting quite deep into it now, and Klopp doesn't usually prioritise, but I'm starting to think, especially if he's been looking at Forest's recent form as well, because it has to be said, they've been very, very good recently. Mm. I don't think he'll take too many chances. So I think Ali will be in net, and I think the right-back will be Trent, although I think he'll give Gomez a go at centre-half because he's not played much, and when he has played, he's been at right-back recently. And I think Virg will be at centre-back as well.
You think they're pulling out BVD?
I think they'll play Virg, but then I think if we're doing all right, they'll probably take him off and either bring Matip or Konate on. I think left-back will be Tsimikas, but that's not much of a replacement anyway because his form has been brilliant this season. CDM, I can't decide. I don't know if he'll play Hendo there or if he'll play Fabinho. And then centre-mids, I think Elliot and Keita, possibly Curtis Jones. Mm. I'm not sure. I don't know if Jones has picked up a slight knock recently as well. Right-wing, Salah, because he'll want a good... period of the game after not starting against whoever it was last night.
Arsenal.
Yeah, didn't even need him in the end, did we? No. And then I think Origi will get a game. Then I think Minamino will be at left wing.
Minamino is certainly an FA Cup Liverpool stalwart. I'm surprised you haven't gone for Kelleher, is it? What's he called?
Kelleher.
Yeah, the Irish keeper, yeah.
No one knows how to pronounce his name,
Capital
I swear.
Capital One Cup.
I love the Capital One Cup.
What's it now?
It's the
Carabao, yeah.
After the Carabao, though.
To be fair, he is quite a reliable backup, and I think he's certainly taken the place of Adrian, who had one sort of unreal game for us, saving however many Chelsea penalties he saved. It might have only been one, to be fair, but it won, so. But since then, he's been... sloppy, and you know, he's conceited. He's Robert Greened, quite frankly.
Wow.
He has Robert Greened.
Well,
there's just so many mistakes. I mean, it reminds me of sort of Karius in the Champions League final against Madrid as well. Similar kinds of mistakes.
That was a hard
So Keller's definitely taken his place, and he has been reliable, but I've just got a feeling that it will be. I mean, Ali's in such good form, kept us in the game last night. Apparently, I mean, wasn't watching it because I was watching QPR lose to Forest
3-1.
Apparently it'll be a save that Liverpool fans remember should we go on and push City all the way and possibly win the title.
See, if this was a proper show, we'd ask you, do you think Liverpool will go on? But we're not. We're focused on Nottingham Forest and Notts County. Just briefly, Kieran, I want to hear your thoughts. Samba has been out since slapping the back of the head of a Stoke City player. How do you think Horvath has been?
I think he's been very good, actually. He's a better
shot stopper,
but his distribution can be a bit dodgy sometimes.
So
I think.
Sanders.
I mean, Horvath has got better at distribution, and he doesn't have those kind of crazy moments where he's lost in no man's land. Which
yes.
Both teams that I kind of follow seem to have a keeper that like to do that now anyway. But yeah.
That was a red card, by the way.
Yes, it was a red card.
Right, we've only got 5 minutes left of Over the Trent. Thank you so much for listening on St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day to anyone who celebrates it. We're going to go around the studio and all the way to Barbados to get the score predictions for Sunday. I'm going to say
Over the
Forest
Trent.
0, Liverpool 4. Never get your hopes up supporting Nottingham Forest. Harry, what's your score predictions for Sunday?
2-1 Forest.
2-1 Forest. Lovely stuff. Who's getting the goals out of interest?
Brennan Johnson.
Oh.
And then
Ryan Yates.
I was thinking Yates, but Davis maybe.
Yeah, Keenan Davis. Back it into VVD. Absolutely having him on toast. George in Barbados, can you hear us down the line? Who's winning on Sunday?
Sorry, can you repeat that? you're the most depressingly listening to you talk about Forest, like, yeah, we're going to lose 4-0, like, come on, mate. Like, it's the magic of the FA Cup.
I do think we lose to Huddersfield. They
have you ever predicted Forest to win?
No.
Yeah, how much have you put on Liverpool to win this game?
About 30-40 quid. I just can't it worked for me at the Euros, so you're going for a Forest win.
I'm going to go Forest 3-1.
3-1, oh, right. Everyone's living in dreamland here. Kieran, bring us down, please.
I think it's going to go to penalties.
Penalties? Oh, yeah. I can do with that.
I think Dom might actually faint next to me.
Let's hope he gets on TV again.
Yeah. I think we're going to, I think we will win on penalties.
Win on penalties. Emily, obviously, as our Forest expert.
See, I was going to say expert. I'll provide some good analysis
here.
Can we
hear your score predictions?
I'm going to go 2-0 Liverpool.
Yep, that's more accurate. Jack Napton.
I'm going to go 3-1 Liverpool.
3-1 Liverpool, I'll accept that. We're going to go to Indy versus... Who are you versus today, Izzy Felton? Who are the Indies versus?
Comic Relief.
You're versus charity. That's an awful thing.
It'll be really awkward if Indy wins.
So what songs have we got on the show later today?
Every song that Comic Relief has ever released or has been released because of Comic Relief.
Oh, Peter Kay did a great one.
Which one was that? Which one was that?
Amarillo.
I thought that was Children Need. Okay. Well, there's one thing Forest fans are really enjoying at the moment. It's the end of the game. Oh, sorry, Izzy Felton. What is your score prediction?
My prediction is Forest 2, Liverpool 28.
It's going to be a mauling. I actually played in a game where I lost 32-0 to Benfica's under 16.
I think Izzy's probably in Barbados with George.
I think she's on the rum and cokes with Ben Stokes. Gemma, what's your score predictions for Sunday? Obviously, you're a QPR fan, but we'd take any sort of thoughts. Please just say we're going to lose.
No, you're not allowed an opinion because you're a QPR fan.
3-1 Liverpool.
Thank you. That sort of negativity really does help me. I cannot have any positivity for the Reds. Forest fans love singing this at the end of games now. It's become sort of an anthem of the year. I think Art of Football have put it on a design. I think you already know it. Thank you so much for listening. Go well and keep it URM.